Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts on this overcast last day of January on this Wednesday. Glad you're with us on Penny for Your Thoughts. We have another busy show for you today. As always, we have an open line really both hours here. Jim Dye is going to join me in the second hour. He'll just be sitting in with me. We'll be talking about various issues of the day, both national and local. We did want to bring in Tom Kasich very quickly because he is all dressed up and ready to go to Springfield to tell us what he's told the governor that he needs to say today.
Tell the governor to say something different. I'm tired of covering the same story over and over and over.
Yeah. How many years have you been to the state of the state?
I was just thinking about that. I went to my first big speech in 1974 when Dan Walker was speaking in the Capitol. The House chamber was under renovation, so they had to do this in one of the older buildings, the Centennial Building. I think it's now called the Howlett Building, and they had it in this little auditorium. It was like a high school assembly. It was crazy. But, yeah, they've improved a little bit since then.
Yeah, a little bit since then. So this is Governor Rauner's fourth state of the state address.
Right.
If he doesn't win re-election, it'll be his last.
Right.
But what do you expect today? I mean, after all that we've had the last 2 years with the budget and the override and the tax increase, what's he going to talk about today, do you think?
He's going to talk about like Donald Trump did last night. He's going to talk about the need for bipartisanship, but he's done that before too. So honestly, everything I've read or heard so far is something he's been saying for the last 3 years. He's going to talk about education funding. He's take a victory lap on that since the state did pass some legislation last year that it really did improve education funding. He's going to talk about the need for term limits and redistricting reform and workers' compensation and making the state better for businesses and, just kind of the same stuff we've been hearing from all along.
Well, and you and I talked a little bit yesterday as we got ready for this quick visit on your way out to Springfield, but I mean, Governor Rauner, the Republicans, and there's not that many in Springfield, but the ones that were there always thought, hey, he's got our back on most things. If we fight Michael Madigan on this, the governor's probably going to either veto something or he's going to stand with us. And then, of course, you had the whole abortion bill thing, yes. And that kind of caused the split, hasn't it?
Well, and that'll be interesting today because there's a lot of House members that are endorsed, not a lot, but because there aren't a lot of them there's a pretty good segment that is endorsed Jeannie Ives in the primary, and she's in the House, so that makes some sense. So the response from the Republicans is going to be interesting. Again, the Dems are not going to get up and applaud Rauner's applause line, so it's going to be up to the Republicans to do so, and there's a lot of Republicans that don't like him anymore. There's a real split there. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, I saw an article I think you wrote, I think it was in today's paper, about the professor, U of I professor, mathematics professor that came up with a pension idea. Is that going to be a, is he going to talk about pensions today and could that get
anywhere?
I think he'll
mention it, you know, that the need, we need to address that, but I don't think he's going to come up with any legislation. That will come in the budget perhaps in 2 weeks. You know, a lot of this stuff will be interesting to see if he has any real solid budget proposals. But I think, you know, the opening chorus today is going to be about bipartisanship and let's work to make Illinois better. And this is a great state, but it needs to be greater and that kind of stuff.
Any sense as you watch these guys' body language with Madigan? They're all in the same room.
They're 5 feet apart. You know, it'll be fun to watch how they shake hands when the governor walks up the middle aisle, and then he'll get up to the rostrum and. Will they exchange any words, or will it just be a little quick handshake between he and the speaker and the Senate president? Yeah. So,
you have a decent seat for this.
if I get early enough, I'm in the press box. It doesn't really matter. There's plenty of places to watch.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll let you get over there.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Good visiting.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a safe trip.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Very good. That's Tom Kasich. He's covering the State of the State address. You can look for all that coverage, of course, tomorrow and throughout the day online as well. So Tom Kasich covering the State of the State address today in Springfield. We'll carry it live here on DWS at noon. We'll come on just shortly before noon and get you ready. Lots of things to talk about today. Illinois basketball. How about that? A 31-point win last night over Rutgers. Darren Williams was in the house. We can talk State of the Union speech with President Trump. Joe Kennedy III gave a response last night for the Democrats. We'll hear some of that, as well as just a quick clip from the president's speech. Won't give you a lot of that, but we can certainly talk about it. I did not have a chance to see the speech at all, basically because we had the basketball game and then all the post-game activities, and I was ready to go to bed. So you can tell me what you saw and what you heard. A lot of chief talk. Got a couple of emails left over from that yesterday. Big high school basketball game last night, Central and Centennial. Central wins that one. JR is our leadoff hitter today on the phones. Hey, JR, how are you?
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good.
Doing okay. Boy, that Frazier, he was hot last night.
He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Them guys, I think the problem is that just keep telling Dion he can stay home and keep Doug. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, Doug was beginning to wonder because he was up with me at Wisconsin,
and
we lost by 25, and he thought they may not have me back after that. But
have you heard the point spread on the Super Bowl yet?
I have not heard. Have you?
No, I haven't either. No.
The Patriots are favorite, I'm sure.
I'm sure they are, too. But did they have any controversy last night in the bathroom by any chance, or did you hear?
Not that I've heard of. I think all was quiet on the restroom front, I think.
Okay. Well, you have a great day.
Thank you, JR.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. That phone number he was on, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and email us talk@wdws.com. Well, let's see. What else last night? Big night for Trent Frazier. He led the way. I think the Illini starters had five players in double figures. Kipper Nichols got his first start of this year, his second career start in the Illini win. A couple of things went into effect there. One is Rutgers struggles offensively. I mean, they're very poor on offense. They just struggle to score. So give Illinois' defense some credit, too, for that. I think the more impressive thing is how Illinois' offense did against a Rutgers defense that is among the best in the Big Ten. Field goal percent, not just the Big Ten, but the country. I think they were in the top 15 in the country in percentage field goal defense. We will take an opening timeout. We'll get to some phone calls. We've got Alan and Dana standing by. We'll get to you right after this quick timeout on Penny for Your Thoughts to get us started. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. A couple of callers waiting here. We also can get your texts. Castle Heating and Tooling text line. Keep those coming. 351-5357 and email us talk@wdws.com. Let's go to the phones. And Dana, how are you, Dana?
I'm fine. Hold on just a second. I wasn't expecting to be first. I just have a quick question about North Market Street between Shadowwood and Bradley. There's a whole neighborhood of houses that have been torn down, and I was just wondering if anybody knows what the plans for that area is and who's developing it.
Okay, so Market Street between, what was the street, Shadowwood?
Shadowwood Trailer Park.
Oh.
Between there.
Okay.
And Bradley.
Bradley. Okay, on North Market.
Yeah, I figured Tom would have known, but I didn't know he wasn't going to be on for very long.
Yeah,
so
no, he was just he had to get in his car and get on I-72. But
yeah,
nice
trip. Anyway, if somebody could call in and let me know just who's developing it and you know what the plans are and where all those people have moved to.
Okay,
I mean there's the whole neighborhood from the railroad tracks to Market Street is being cleared.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just amazing. They've got houses back in there, and for all winter now, they've been tearing down houses.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I sometimes get in that area for different meetings and different, on my way to the mall or whatever, but I haven't noticed that. Okay.
Yeah, just on the east side of Market. The yeah. west side hasn't been touched, but it's amazing how oh. fast all those houses have. And I just wonder where all the people have gone.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So, three questions. Okay, thank you.
There you go, Dana. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Good to hear from you. 9:17 here. We're at 33 degrees. Did I see there's a chance of some sleet and snow early tonight, I guess. Low of 29. Back to the phones. Alan up next. Hi, Alan.
Morning, Brian. Did the Comet go over the Assembly Hall last night?
Did the what?
Comet.
The Comet?
Yeah. It's so rare for Illinois to have a blowout wind like that.
I got it.
The Comet went by or something.
Well, that was impressive. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, I didn't get to see much of it because I was doing the game too, and I didn't get to see but the last 7 minutes. And by the time I got in the car and heard the score, I just about fell over.
Yep. No, it was a big. It was about a. I think it was a 1-point game, 13-12 at one point, and then Frazier went off. He hit three or four threes in a row. I forget the total. He scored, I think, 12 of the next 15 points or something like that, and it was like a 19-2 run. And then they got up big at half, and then they just kept going, started the second half with a 12-2 run, and the game was over.
Well, we're starting to get a couple other guys being consistent like Frazier, and now maybe, just maybe, Kipper Nichols. And we need more consistency to improve. I mean, you can't just rely on LeBron Black every night.
No, that's right.
Two.
Nope, got to have a third or fourth score, and they had both of those last night with Kipper. And that's kind of an interesting lineup with Kipper, Black, and Finke starting.
I kind of like it myself.
I do, too.
Another subject. Remember we was talking about the soda thing a couple weeks ago and all the sodas and everything?
Yes.
I went into the Burger King in the Mass Union. This is the original Burger King. This is not the franchise. They had a little display there of 10-ounce bottles of all kinds of different flavors of soda. And it was by the Homer Soda Company out of Homer, Illinois. You ever heard of them?
I haven't heard of that. I know doesn't Homer have a big soda festival every year?
Well, apparently they have a company, too, because they sell different kinds of bottles. And they had Frosty Root Beer, and they had Dog and Suds, what we used to know. And then they also had some other oddball things I never heard of, like Triple X Root Beer and Triple X Cola. And they had the name of Chicago Orange and Chicago Strawberry. And they also had Dang, D-A-N-G, Root Beer and Colas. Oddball stuff I haven't even heard of.
And where was that?
This is at they had a display there at Burger King and Mattoon, but apparently it was made by out of Homer, the Homer Soda Company out of Homer, Illinois. Homer's
interesting.
Not very far from Champaign, right?
Oh, that's right. No, it's just down the road a little bit.
So I thought that was a little unique, but there's all bottles. You can buy them individually. You can buy a six pack. So that was a little different.
Yeah, that is cool. Well, thank you, Alan.
Yep.
Yep. Great to hear from you. Go Illini after that win last night. Where was it? I think I was down. My father-in-law lives in Goreville, and they have a convenience store there that has all the Hostess items from the last several years. I mean, everything from the ones with the coconut covering, flaked coconut, to Twinkies, to Zingers, whatever all was. I found that fun. All right, because I like that kind of stuff. I just can't eat a lot of it. Let's go to Mike. How are you, Mike?
Yes, good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Well, good to visit with you.
Well, because I certainly have never met you, not in person, but I think you fit that chair nicely. You're doing a good job, man.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you took the time to call in and tell me that.
Well, and also, I also had a little comment about Trent Frazier. Now, maybe this isn't a good comparison, but in ways, he reminds me of how years ago, like with the Bulls, how if Michael Jordan, man, you had to watch him because once he got down the court, you just couldn't catch him.
Right, he could take over games. That was the big thing.
And Trenton just seemed like, God, man, that guy was on fire last night.
Well, you know what's fun, Mike, is when I watch him, and I've been around him a lot now this year, his personality is a lot like, not quite, but his personality is somewhat like D. Brown. He's got the same kind of bounce in his step, and he's very confident, and he's usually smiling or laughing or joshing with somebody, and I don't think he's as fast as D. Brown was, but he's got that similar, I don't know, he's got it, whatever it is, he's got it.
And I don't know, you know, somebody was talking about, it's been weeks and weeks ago now, but, you know, somebody was talking about, I think that I'd want the business end of LeRon Black? I think, no thanks. I don't think I want that.
You'd want the what of LeRon Black? I didn't quite follow that.
Business end to him. I mean,
oh yeah, well, he's,
that floor, ouch.
Yeah, he's a big guy and he can shoot it. He's got a really good 10 to 15 foot jump shot. So.
Only thing is, I wish to heck some of these guys could just stay out of foul trouble. You know, I mean, that's what seems to always happen. Somebody always fouls out of there.
Well, yeah, they do have to. They play aggressive defense, so sometimes that leads to fouling.
Well,
you gotta find a balance there somewhere. Okay.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. Pleasure to speak to you.
Hey, Mike, pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, 9:24. Next caller up is Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Morning. Last week sometime, the program that's on before yours come on.
Yes.
And I heard this on the radio. I don't know if you guys caught wind of it or not. There was a bunch of animals loose from somewhere, and I guess the law enforcement and everybody tried to gather enough, and guess who was leading the pack through people's yards and everything?
No idea. You're talking about the baboons that got loose?
No. This was a donkey. Donkey that was leading the pack.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just wonder if they were all... I just wonder if they're all Democrats, since Democrats and Republicans got their own mascots, since we can't have one.
Oh, okay. I follow you.
For a mascot and an elephant for Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, people have a right to have a mascot for their parties?
Yeah. Well, I hadn't thought of it that way, but okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, it was interesting since they said it was donkey. I thought, well, maybe a bunch of Democrats left the White House.
Yeah. All right. Hey, all right, Bob. Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right. A little zoo talk there, I guess, right? I knew they had some baboons, though, escaped. Some monkeys escaped from a zoo somewhere here recently, and there were like 50 of them on the loose, and they were trying to track them down. I can't imagine that. I guess they had to lock down the zoo. People, if you're at the zoo and they lock it down, so you can't leave either until they round everything up. I just found that interesting. All right, let's get a quick break in here, Ed. We'll come back. We'll get ready for some more calls. We got news headlines coming up and more. Open line today throughout. Jim Dye is going to come in the second hour, but we can talk about anything. Jim's in here. He can talk anything. He did have an interesting meeting, I believe, yesterday with Chris Kennedy. They had the editorial board meeting with Chris Kennedy, who's running for governor. We'll maybe pick his brain about that a little bit. But other than that, everything's fair game here this morning, all the way up till 11 o'clock on Penny for Your Thoughts. Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts continuing here on this Wednesday, last day of January. How do you like that? We made it through January. February's a short month, and soon it'll be spring. One thing you want to check out if you need to in your basement, any crawl space, wall cracks, foundation cracks, if you walk around the house and you check those out and you go, ooh boy, I've got a problem. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but crawl space wall cracks will let water leak into your crawl space. Most of that water gets trapped at the top of what they call the vapor barrier, too. It evaporates up and into your home, and mold loves that. So if you'd like to get some of that fixed, get your free estimate from Woods Basement and fix those basement and crawl space and cracks as you think about the spring here. and getting that fixed. Remember, Wood's estimates do not cost you anything. And how much is it costing you to not fix the problem, Dave Thompson says. Call Wood's Basement Systems for your free estimate today, 888-935-4333, or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. A couple leftover emails from yesterday. Says, I think what the professor did in the State Farm Center restroom last week was reprehensible, but realistically there are exceptions, I would think, to the law against recording in the restroom. Let's say there was a fight in the bathroom or a holdup or some other illegal activity happening. Would all the folks up in arms about the recording in the public restroom be up then in arms about that as an invasion of privacy? Also, this is Kevin, says, I think folks are also wrong when they make the blanket statement that most Native Americans are not offended by the imagery used by various sports teams. I think I would ask them if they've actually talked to those people or if that is just their perception. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big Illini fan, alum, and miss the Chief, but I also understand the other side. So those comments from Kevin. Coming up in the second half hour, a little bit more about the basketball game last night. We can talk about the State of the Union speech. How many of you heard, saw that? What do you think? I did not see the entire speech. I've just heard clips. Just wonder your impressions of the speech and then the response to it by the Democrats. I've got a little bit of both. We can do that today as well. Jim Dye will sit in with me in the second hour. We'll continue to take your open line phone calls about anything and everything, as we like to do. And we'll tell you more about what's happening as the week goes on here, as we've hit the middle of the week, hump day, they call it, right, here on Wednesday and the end of the month of January. We've got news headlines up next. Michael Kaiser has those. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts, phone calls, emails, and text straight ahead on an open line here on Wednesday.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Lots of texts and emails to get to. We'll get to those here as we move along this morning. We'll do that next, in fact, 9:35. We are at 33 degrees. Penny for Your Thoughts this morning. An open line here both hours. We had Tom Kasich on his way out the door to the State of the State address in Springfield. Had a question, will that State of the State address be on when today? We'll have it for you at noon. We'll come on slightly before and then bring you that address live from the state capitol there in Springfield. Also, an email from Mike. He says the reason we had a caller, I think it was Dana, was asking about all the moving of homes or trailers and cleaning out an area, basically, to look like they might be building something there on Market Street, on North Market Street. And Mike says they are building a Golden Corral on Market Street. I didn't know that. Also, an email says, I continue to be amused about Stan's calls in which he always links the one percenters to Republicans like the Koch brothers. I invite his attention to these facts. California and New York, two of the most Democratic-leaning states in the country, are wealthy states, so they must be populated with a lot of Democrat one percenters. We know people like Nancy Pelosi is one, and also Oprah, and what appears to be the preponderance of entertainment industry people. And secondly, Robert says, research shows that when wealth by geographic area is correlated with voting records, the voting records in the mostly wealthy areas show that the majority are Democrats. Both parties have a lot of people that qualify as wealthy, and thank God we have a country where there's enough economic freedom to permit that. That email is from Robert. All right, the monkeys, they say, we were talking about the escaped animals. Monkeys were in Paris with the monkeys that escaped. And then also an elephant was crossing the China-Laos border twice, walking over the border fence. Okay, I didn't hear about that. Okay. Well, if they see, we have great listeners. They know all these things. Also got a text in, says, like I said before, Trent Frazier is the truth. Remember, he's a freshman, and look how much we are talking about him now. And then Charles says, hi, Brian, do you know if the State of the State address will be on the radio today on WDWS? If so, at what time? Yes, at noon. 356-9397. You can text us like those folks did. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com, 937. Last night's game, the Illini with an unusual, not an unusual, but a different starting lineup. Kipper Nichols was inserted into the lineup for the first time. He played alongside LaRon Black and Michael Finke. And Kipper got Illinois going early with an early basket.
Nichols at the free throw line, spinning, looking. Now throws it way out top to Frazier. Frazier, seven to shoot. Now to Kipper. Free throw line, drive down the lane. Kipper with a layup. Counted. And he's fouled.
And we've been talking a lot about Trent Frazier. He got hot at one stretch. He had five threes in the first half alone. He finished with 17 points, and a couple of those here.
To Sanders, back to Baker. Left side three is off the front iron, no good. Rebound, Kipper Nichols. Three on two, Illinois. Nichols flips it. Right side, Frazier for three, and he got it. 10 to shoot. Illinois up 18-12. Pass to Boigbedine. Now to Frazier. Top of the key. Three. And he buried another one. Brent Frazier with 2 threes.
And then he did a heat check. And he made another three in this stretch. Here's Trent Frazier again.
Rebound Frazier. He's doing everything right now. Frazier with 12 here in the last couple of minutes. Shoots another three.
Oh!
Trent Frazier with 15. 5 threes. And it's timeout, Rutgers.
And after the ball game, Brad Underwood happy with the way, especially his offense, played last night.
Well, that showed tonight. I think five guys in double figures, 16 assists. That's more like what I want and what I've been accustomed to. We did it every way. We did it throwing the ball into the post. We did it in transition. Did it on the offensive glass early. We got to the foul line. So it was something that. Now when hopefully teams look at our scout, they've got to go, oh, who are we planning for? Because now there's Trent, now there's LaRon, now there's, you know, Kipper's making shots, and Michael got some looks late. And, you know, that's the type of Mark Allstorff made a few tonight. So now it's, you know, hopefully that continues. And
hopefully it does continue at Ohio State Sunday at 11 a.m. Now, of course, in attendance last night, he got a big roar when he was introduced, Darren Williams. Darren had a question here from Benny. Says, has Darren Williams retired from the NBA? He's too young to retire. He's in his early 30s, I would think. And he has been with a few teams here lately, most recently the Cleveland Cavaliers. Played with LeBron last year in the NBA Finals. And Darren talked about just being back here for the first time in a few years, and he noticed all the changes on Green Street in particular.
It's been great. You know, it's been a little bit too long. I think it's been about 3 years since I've been here last. A lot changed. Not only in the basketball program and what they're doing in the arena, but just on campus. Campus is growing. It's like New York down there. New York City, all the high rises they got down there on Green Street. I've made my rounds around, you know, campus. That's some of my favorite spots. And so it's been enjoyable.
Darren has not retired officially, by the way. He did speak to the basketball team. The Illini team was here for a couple of days, so good to see Darren. I know he's maybe hoping to get on with another NBA team, but, you know, certainly at the end of his career, you would have to say, at this stage, near the end of it. So good luck to him. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Are the ways to reach us here this morning. We have a text from Bill. He says, I hear a lot about people wanting bipartisan cooperation, but when the president offered some on immigration, nobody cheered. I've seen happier people at a funeral than the Democrats. Chris Wallace and Juan Williams called this a dark speech. Were they watching the same speech I was? Commentators complained about the length of the speech. Too much cheering, I guess. Were they too busy to take the time to listen? That's a text from Bill. It is interesting to me, and I did not see the speech really at all. I just seen clips because of my work last night with a basketball game. So I'm just curious what everybody out there, you listeners, thought, everybody listening and wherever you might be listening, did you see it? What did you think of it? It's interesting to me, and I think a lot of this is silly, but the Twitter, which just sometimes to me just gets out of control, but the Twitter, we're talking the Twitter universe, I guess it was the biggest night for Twitter that they've ever had, just the reactions and spreading of information and so forth. But I guess the biggest Twitter talk items last night were the president clapping a lot. He was applauding. He would say something, and then he would applaud. And, of course, the mic was right there, so it was picking it up. The other was that what Melania Trump was wearing, which I guess was a white outfit, a pantsuit sort of thing, and they were wondering I think it was a Christian Dior outfit. So there was a lot of talk about that. And then there was also, I guess, Joe Kennedy III gave the Democratic response, and his lips were wet, I guess, apparently. I didn't see it. And so they were wondering what that was about. Well, apparently he was on morning talk shows this morning and said he had too much chapstick on. So the out of all the issues that are out there, and immigration, of course, is the big one in the, you know, the big one in the middle of the room, those were the things that Twitter was talking about, which, yes, it's silly. But that's what goes on, I guess. We're at 9:43 here at DWS. We'll take another quick break. We'll come back. We've got Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line today. Jim Dye jumps in here with me in the studio for the second hour. But again, we can talk about anything and everything. The game, the speech last night, state of the state, what's going on North Market, things like that. Anything like that is fair game today on an open line. We'll tell you more about what's coming up tomorrow as well as we work our way through the show today. Glad you're with us. We'll continue with more after this. Ryan Barnhart back with you on Penny for Your Thoughts this morning, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, and email us talk at WDWS.com. 9:46 in the morning, and we're at 35 degrees, overcast. I doubt if you were able, to see the lunar eclipse today, the big super blue moon, whatever it was, the eclipse. We had Dave Leake on yesterday for a couple of minutes talking about it. May have been too cloudy, but I didn't have time to even step out and take a look at it. So don't know if you saw anything there. Apparently on the West Coast was better viewing of that. First time all three of those events have happened, I think, since 1866 is what they tell me. Let's go back to the phones, and Paul is on Penny this morning. Hi, Paul.
Morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Just like one caller said several minutes ago, wanted to welcome you to the chair. I think you're doing a very nice job. I was able to listen to a few years of Larry Stewart, and then, of course, all the years with Jim Turpin, who is from my hometown, or I'm from his hometown, whichever way you want to think of it.
The land of the white squirrels, right?
Only Illinois, yeah.
That's right.
And I've been listening to WDWS ever since we moved to Tolono in 1977. So we've been around a little while.
Yeah, you have.
And it was really nice to see a good, pretty much consistent 40-minute effort out of the basketball team last night.
Yes, it was. That it was fun to be that far ahead.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, and not have to worry about, oh, well, are they going to come back on us, or are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot, or are we going to take a break or not? They actually kept up the intensity.
Well, it's interesting to me because I get to go to the shoot-arounds and watch a lot of what goes on, as you know, Paul. And it's just interesting because, and I described this last night, it's like when the year started, the coach, Underwood, it was like the offense he wanted to run and the style, it was like a stick figure. He just had to basically kind of put it in place. And now, as we get to different shoot-arounds and practices, he's starting to add different wrinkles to what they're doing because they've pretty much figured out the basic offense of what he wants to run. And it's been kind of fun to, you know, they'll put in an inbounds play, and then, you know, at some point in the game, it's like, there it is. They just ran the new play he just put in today. And so that's kind of fun. So I think as this thing fleshes out, I think it's going to be fun to watch it because people tell me that know these things that the offense that he wants to run, when it's running at a high rate, it's almost unguardable.
Well, and then, too, just think about what it's going to be like next year when all of these guys, all these young guys especially, have had a chance to get themselves really familiar with what he wants and how he wants to do things. And they'll be able to be in their minds so they can react without having to think. That's the key.
Oh, it really is. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And we'll be, in fact, we're going to be much better, I think, now that things seem to be unlocking now. Maybe the rest of the season was going to be much more enjoyable to watch. Don't know if we'll make the tournament or not, but we're going to make some people upset when we beat them.
Well, here's the thing I think, Paul. I think that as we get here into February coming up, and of course it's a month to the Big Ten tournament, I think if you're a team playing Illinois, you're not going to really want to play them, you know, because you're going to have to prepare a different way because of the way they play defense. And if they can get the offense to continue to click like it did last night, they're going to be a hard team to beat in the sense that you're going to really have to be on your game to beat them. It's a team you don't want to play late, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, a month ago you would look at Illinois and say, okay, well, there's a team that we can beat and mark up as a W on our left side of the ledger, and now that's not going to be the case. They know they're going to be in for a fight, regardless of who it is in the conference.
And even when we lost those games earlier this year, Chris Collins said after the game, the Northwestern coach, the Maryland coach, Mark Turgeon, they all told us after the game, we couldn't run our stuff. And they were still, I mean, even though they scored points, they had to get away from what they normally run. They had to go to other things. And, of course, we've been a little prone to backdoor, you know, cuts because of the way we play defense.
Right.
So,
right.
Well, we're getting better on both ends.
Just want to say good morning and welcome to the chair. And we're glad you're here.
Well, thank you, Paul. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. And someone from Tolono as well. I like that. John, how are you today?
Great.
What's going on?
Nothing. Is Mark Smith is in the doghouse or what's going on?
Well, I think with Mark, you know, he's had a little bit of a confidence issue in the sense that he was, you know, Mr. Basketball, and he, you know, I don't know how he was challenged as far as the competition in high school. He just dominated, didn't really have to play a lot of defense in a structured way, and so I think he kind of lost his confidence. But I can tell you that the other day at shoot-around, he made like 35 three-pointers in a row from the corner.
Well, that's nice. It was just odd to see him on the floor, you know, in garbage time, I thought.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to get him some minutes. His big thing is, John, they're trying to get him to play better defense because he tends to, you know, on those backdoor cuts, or he just gets lost in the backside help, and so teams know that, and they're taking advantage of it. And so you've got to try to get him some minutes and try to get him some confidence, but you can't, you know, have him. And there's been others, too. Kipper's had trouble with it, you know, trying to help on defense. And if you're going to give up more points than you're scoring, then I don't know if he's in the doghouse. It's just kind of the way it's worked so far. But, you know, we've had other guys like that haven't had great freshman years either.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering because, you know, he only got about 4 minutes the game before, and then he didn't get much last night, you know, garbage time. And
yeah, I think more of it has to do with his defense than anything else.
Well, hopefully he'll come around.
Yeah, he will.
He's better.
I've seen this before.
And yeah, well, it happens, though. But at least it's looking better.
Well, yeah, and just winning like that makes – I mean, they'll be in a good mindset going to Ohio State Sunday because they've won a couple. The offense continues to kind of every day, you know, new leaves appear on the tree as far as what they're running. And their defense is always going to give other teams problems as far as making them scramble. And we'll see what state of mind Ohio State's in.
Yeah, sure. Hopefully they'll be off their game a little bit.
A little bit. It's all it takes.
Right. Before I let you go, though, could you ask Mike in the morning if he was right on that trivia question this morning?
Mike in the morning? Oh, and the trying to think which question it was.
It was Chicago, where they went to school.
Oh, yeah. It was Loyola, wasn't it?
Well, that's what he said, but a friend of mine went to DePaul, and he said he went to school with the guys that started Chicago.
Oh.
And I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said they went to DePaul.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well,
I mean, I don't know where he got his information, but, I mean, if you happen to, you know, bring it up in the morning or something, he might be reluctant, but
okay.
That's
well,
fine.
No, I can.
You know, things happen. I don't know. He might have got some bad information or something. Well, but I just thought it was weird, you know, because my friend said, well, yeah, I went to school with those guys. And I went, really? And, you know, so that's what I thought was the answer. And I I guess it wasn't right. So then I looked it up, and I said, well, my friend wasn't lying. So
I'll check with him on that.
Okay, that would be great. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, John. You too.
Thank you.
9:53. The demolition email from Doug, the demolition off Market Street is part of the Bristol Park plan. All right, on yesterday's show, you teased the story about the wave tradition at the University of Iowa. I never heard the full story. Could you please report the story you were talking about yesterday? Yes, I can do that. And let me take a break, and I'll come back, and I will do that after this quick timeout on Penny for Your Thoughts at 9:54. Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts. 356-9397 is the phone number. We're at 9:56. As always, you can text us. I know some people don't have time necessarily to get on the phone and talk. Maybe you can just send me a quick text or an email as you're thinking about things. Feel free to do that at any point, and we'll get to them all as we work our way through the morning. We had an emailer asked about the story I mentioned yesterday, and that's my fault. I got swept away yesterday with time and everything else and just could not get back to it. But the story from the Iowa hospital, it's a sad story, so I hate to end the hour on a sad note, but one of the best things to come from the 2017 college football season was a new tradition at Iowa, and we had a chance to experience this. New building was added to the University of Iowa Family Children's Hospital right next to the football stadium, Kinnick Stadium. The new building's proximity to the stadium prompted an idea. Iowa fans would wave to the children in the hospital at the end of the first quarter. And Lovie Smith, coach of the Illini, had his team do that. They turned and waved at the end of the first quarter. The hospital building is right there by the stadium. One of those children was Will Cohn, the first patient admitted to the new building in January of 2017. Unfortunately, Will passed away last Saturday at the age of 7, according to the Des Moines Register. They say he loved the moment when fans would wave to the hospital. And at USA Today's George Schroeder did a wonderful feature on all of that. But he was born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome, a heart abnormality. He underwent several surgeries, was put on the heart transplant list when he was 3. A match was found in September, which allowed him to return home in December. However, he was diagnosed with large B-cell lymphoma early January and died a few weeks later. But they say he fought a heck of a fight for 7 years, but left us peacefully. In recent days, two Iowa players, Miles Taylor and Josh Jackson, held auctions on Twitter to raise money for the Children's Hospital. So, anyway, just a sad note from Iowa, but just a wonderful, wonderful tradition they started there at the University of Iowa. And it's just so neat, and we were fortunate. We were there to play Iowa earlier this year, I think back in mid-October, and it was just cool to watch 50, 60,000 people turn and wave to the children in that children's hospital. But unfortunately, a young man there that was there passed away here just recently. But that was the story I was talking about. But if you ever get a chance to go to Kinnick Stadium, and now that they're doing that, it's a very, very cool moment. 356-9397. Save that phone number. Give us a call here in the next hour. We've got more open line conversation, a little more on that Bristol Place project. I've gotten some emails or at least some information from the News Gazette on that. We'll pass that along to you as we work our way through the second hour. Jim Dye is going to sit in with me here as well, and he had some interesting times yesterday as the editorial board was meeting with Chris Kennedy, a candidate for governor. Got the State of the State address coming up at noon today. You can hear that on right here on DWS. So make sure you're listening for that. Bruce Rauner, we talked to Tom Kasich about going over for that. He's been covering that for decades now, the State of the State address. So we visited with him for a couple of minutes. I'm sure Jim will have some thoughts as well on that. And much more to come. What do you think of the State of the Union speech? A couple of clips from that last night. The president and Joe Kennedy III gave the response for the Democrats. All of that straight ahead in a busy second hour here on Penny for Your Thoughts, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Appreciate all of the input in hour number one. We talked with Tom Kasich a little bit. He was on his way out the door up I-72 to the State of the State address. You can hear that today at noon here on DWS. Our coverage will start just a little bit before noon. And, of course, last night, the State of the Union address. We'll get into that here in just a moment. We talked a little bit about the basketball game last night. Darren Williams was in town, so lots of fun things involved with that. And some other local news as well. Had a lot of Chief talk yesterday, so we may veer into that somewhere along the way as well if people want to talk about that. But it's an open line here this hour, so we can go any direction you want. Had a couple of questions about the Bristol Park plan. Had an email from Doug, said the demolition off of Market Street is part of that Bristol Park plan. And there was some news from the City Council last night. We'll tell you about that as we go along. Jim Dye is with me here in the second hour. Did you go to the game last night?
I did go to the game last night, yeah. And I was, first of all, I'm dumbfounded that Rutgers was able to take Michigan State into overtime.
Yeah.
Based on the team I saw last night, I don't see how that was possible. But I think they, in addition to the injury, I think they must have had a really bad night because we kind of pounded them into the ground.
We did. 31-point win. It was it was like, wow, this hasn't happened in a while.
It,
I mean,
hasn't
to be that
happened
far
in
ahead.
A while. Against a, well, not I wouldn't say they're a good team, but against a fairly representative team, mm-hmm. a conference foe, and you beat them that bad, and it's kind of a relief just because we've had so many nail-biters and so many misadventures on the basketball court this year.
And a lot of close games and some close losses, but nice to get a blowout win last night at Ohio State Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Central.
Now, that's going to be a tough game because, the coach at Ohio State has done a really nice job of getting a team that wasn't, I don't think, predicted to be that good to be really pretty effective.
A lot of people thought going into the year they would be down in the lower fourth.
Right. Right.
Of the Big Ten, and now they're in the upper quadrant, if you will.
Well, he did a good job at Butler, and I guess he's doing a good job at Ohio State, and it just galls me that he's doing his good job with a player from Bloomington that I would have liked to have had here in Illinois.
Kate Bates Diop.
That's right.
All right, we'll talk about the President's State of the Union address here, but let's go to the phones. Don is up first this hour. Hi, Don. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
President's speech was unbelievably awesome.
You liked it, huh?
State of the Union was one of the best ever.
Yeah,
unbelievably awesome.
What did you like about it?
Well, I like that he's just out for us. You know what I mean? Because I don't understand, the part where these elected officials. I don't think they were hired to represent people from foreign countries. I really just don't think that's what they were hired to do. You know, and he's for America. I mean, everything. That he talks about, and it's for all Americans too. You know, he was good. His infrastructure plan, awesome. People, a lot more people are going to be back to work. I mean, unemployment's going to go even lower. There's going to be even more jobs created, thousands and thousands.
Yeah. Well,
you know, he's just on the right track, you know.
Well, that's.
I really enjoyed it.
Well, good. That's a vote for the speech.
Right. And I'm in the majority. 75% of the people who watched it liked it, according to CBS poll. 75%, definitely the majority. So when Stan calls up and gripes and gripes and gripes, he's one of those cockroaches Trump shined the light on last night. You should have seen him in the audience. It was great.
All right. Hey, Don, thank you.
Yeah, the polling was amazingly positive about the president's speech. And I only saw the last half of it because I was at the basketball game, but I thought it was very well delivered. I'm constantly surprised that a non-professional politician like Trump is so comfortable in a setting like the State of the Union speech. But I was most impressed by the people that he introduced as his guests. I thought there were some incredible stories that were told and some people that I think all Americans can look at and say, wow, what they did was tremendous.
Well, here's interesting. Let me give you just a little clip. This isn't real long. I think it's 35 seconds of the president last night, kind of the overall theme, I guess, at the beginning. Here we go.
This, in fact, is our new American moment. There has never been a better time to start living the American dream. So to every citizen watching at home tonight, no matter where you've been or where you've come from, this is your time. If you work hard, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in America, then you can dream anything. And together, we can achieve absolutely anything.
And, of course, he touted the economy, which, you know, some people will say, some people argue, well, it was beginning to recover under Obama, and he's the beneficiary of this thing taking off. And a lot of people say, hey, no, it's the tax cuts, the whole idea, the philosophy of allowing businesses to grow, and that's what's fueling it. But he obviously was pretty proud of that, too.
Well, I think you kind of have to take your partisan hat off when you talk about the economy. It's there's no question that President Obama inherited an economy in a disastrous condition and that he nursed it back into a state of health that was acceptable with somewhat slow economic growth, but still economic growth. Things have improved fairly well since then, and we're on to actually a pretty strong economy. It's growing, I think, maybe at a 3% rate now, or approaching that.
Right about 3.
GDP, and they're talking about even 4. And the unemployment level, which was low under Obama, or got low, is continues to get lower. And I think the thing that's the thing I'm hoping to see on that is that there will be enough jobs created so that people who have dropped out of the workforce and are not reflected in the economic unemployment rates will come back to work and will be working, and that the demand for employees will create pressure for employers to increase wages. So what we've had over the last number of years is a lot of wage stagnation. And when you get a growing economy where people are hiring, that creates pressure to raise salaries for employees that employers want to hire.
Open line here in this second hour. Jim Dye has joined me in the studio. We have him on every couple of weeks. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Well, as we're talking about the speech and partisan hats, first of all, I say how much I enjoy Mr. Dye's work with the Gazette. Just the voice of reason is refreshing.
The voice of reason.
Holy, nobody's ever called me that before.
Well,
they call me a lot of things, but not that. But thank you.
There you go. There you go. The part that I think confuses me the most, when Trump announced that African-American unemployment is at an all-time low, I don't know if all the networks that I was watching on Fox, they cut over to the Black Congressional Caucus, and these guys, you know, how they sit there and they ignore most of it. This genuinely seemed to make them mad. It's like he just told them all their mothers wear army boots or something. And I don't understand how are we going to, you know, cross partisan lines if something like that truly offends these guys. What are you supposed to do to reach out?
Well, let me explain why that works the way it is. They are happy that the unemployment rate for blacks is at an all-time historic low and maybe going lower, and I'm sure they're that's good. But at the same time, they're not happy that it's happening under Trump. And this is all about power. This is not about policy. So the Democrats are not going to be very happy if there are things happening that might reflect well on Trump, just as, you know, sometimes Republicans were unhappy when things that reflected well on Obama that didn't reflect well on them. So, I mean, this is a partisan game, and the power struggle in Washington is all about partisanship, and it's very fierce. And, of course, Trump rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and so they're thinking that they should have won the election, and Hillary should have won the election, and she should have won the election. If she'd campaigned in Wisconsin, she would have won the election. But that's what this is about. So no, nothing that makes Trump look good is going to make them happy.
Do we know what the what is the rate, unemployment rate? I mean, I don't know the numbers.
I think the unemployment rate is about 4%.
But I mean, for African Americans, was it a little higher usually? I mean,
The black unemployment rate and the black teenage unemployment rate have been distressingly high in the past, and I don't know exactly where they are now, but I think it's probably less than 5%, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
But that's good. Well, more people are working, more people paying taxes, more people with don't have too much time on their hands to do things they shouldn't do, so that's good for everybody.
Appreciate it, Jim.
Hey, well, thank you.
Very good. And let's go to Kent here with a man of reason, Jim Dye.
Good morning.
How are you?
I think it's highly ironic that there's a move in Springfield to raise the smoking age to 21, but there's also a move to introduce or to legalize recreational marijuana. And I was particularly annoyed to see that Eric Harold favors exploring, I think the word she used, its legalization. There's one thing I know about marijuana, aside from its intoxicating effects, is that it stinks.
You know, I was in the presence of a cigarette smoker when I came in to work this morning, and I was just reminded, since I'm not really around cigarette smoke very much, just reminded how noxious the smell is. And yes, the marijuana probably is equally noxious.
It has its own smell.
Thing about legalization of marijuana is there's no question that this is an idea that seems to have taken hold. I think in Illinois we've gone far enough with just decriminalizing it. I'm not one of those who thinks it's just going to be, everything's going to be all hunky-dory when we legalize marijuana. But these politicians, they want the money that they think that the sales of legalized marijuana is going to generate. And, of course, you're absolutely correct to point out that while we seem to be making it harder and harder to smoke cigarettes, we're making it easier and easier to smoke marijuana. So it's just a matter of whose vice do you disapprove of the most?
Yes, I used to think of marijuana as being having the smell of burning rope, but I read on the internet that there are cultivars that smell like a lot of different things now, including skunks. So what can you say?
Well, you're right. I don't know what to do with that.
Well, you see, when you see someone like Jason Berrickman saying, well, maybe legalized marijuana is an idea has come, and I don't know anything about what Erica Harold said about it, but, you know, there is a certain tide of public opinion that politicians are not going to ignore.
All right, Kent?
All right.
My own position is, do we really need more intoxicated people in society? And I think we probably could use a few less, but...
All right, we've got to get a break in here. We're at 10:23. We're with Jim Dye. Anything, everything is open for discussion here. We have an open line, but Jim joins us every couple of weeks. Of course, on the editorial board here at the News Gazette, News Gazette Media. We'll come back with more. 356-9397, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. We'll come back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stan. All right, Joe Kennedy gave the response to the president last night in his Democratic response. And Joe Kennedy had this to say, and this is also fairly short, but here's his response.
This is a difficult task. Many have spent the last year anxious, angry, afraid. We all feel the fractured fault lines across our country. We hear the voices of Americans who are forgotten and feel forsaken. We see an economy that makes stocks soar, investor portfolios bulge, and corporate profits climb, but fails to give workers their fair share of the reward. A government that struggles to keep itself open. Russia, knee-deep in our democracy. An all-out war on environmental protection. A Justice Department rolling back civil rights by the day.
And a lot of times in these responses, they're set up in a much smaller setting. So you go from the well of the House of Representatives to an airport hangar or a plant factory somewhere. So it never quite seems as grandiose. But
well, it isn't as grandiose.
Grandiose.
Or grand.
I don't know how to say that.
Well,
but
when you're speaking to the Congress from the well of the House or the podium of the House, you have a definite advantage in terms of the appearances.
But in these speeches, that responses usually have the outline of what the Democrats are going to be talking about in the midterms, right?
All
those things.
Mentioned. Well, the Democrats are, you know, apoplectic over the current situation, and I think you just heard Representative Kennedy going down his list of grievances and things that they'll be touting to the voters in the fall elections. You know, they think they have a good chance to take the House and maybe even the Senate if they get really lucky. But you know, the Democrats are fired up. I mean, they're beside themselves over Trump. You know, he rubs them the wrong way and seems to go out of his way to rub them the wrong way, and that fires up their base. And you know, they can. If you saw what happened in Alabama, where the Democrats picked up a Senate seat in a solid Republican state, although the Republicans made serious political errors there, but they're hoping to see that everywhere.
Let's go to Cliff on line one here. Cliff, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had actually two comments now. One just came up on that last little soundbite from Joe Kennedy when he referred to the phrase anxious, angry, and afraid. And it sounded to me kind of like a
hello.
Child who's
you
got
still there,
hand.
Cliff?
Lost him.
Call us back, Cliff. I don't know what happened. Your line is still blinking, but you're not there. All right, let's try it again here. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I just heard that clip by Kennedy. He said something about that stock, big corporations are making a lot of money in the stock market, but the investors aren't. Well, that ain't true. I just started investing money this year, and I'm making a bunch of money. And it's all going great. Business is up. And, there's so many good and positive things that have happened since President Trump has become president, and there's so much hate against him. You know, I mean, it's like you turn on CBS, NBC, or ABC News, and it's all negative and full of hate. You know, the Democrats don't want to work with anybody to get anything done. President Trump has done some great things for the pro-life movement, for religious freedom, which is important. Religious freedom is important for not only Christians, but Muslims and everybody else. You know, any faith of any kind, you know.
Yeah, well, Jim,
and, he's done some great things for them. Are you still with me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, go ahead. You're good.
You know, the okay. caller makes
anyway,
a good.
Anyway, I'm a optimistic individual, and I'm in business for myself. And gosh, I mean, he's a little arrogant. You know, his personality's a little arrogant, and he really can throw some things out there sometimes. But if you really dig down deep, you know, his one of his lawyers is a man named Jay Sekulow, who is a Christian man, mm-hmm. and he does a lot of. He's a big time lawyer, and he does a lot of fighting for our religious freedoms and battling against pro-abortion groups, and just he does a lot of stuff. Mike Pence is a born again Christian, a good mm-hmm. solid man.
One thing the caller should remember is that nothing scares Democrats and liberals more than born again Christians. I mean, so when you say that's a good thing. Well, that's a good thing from your perspective, from the Democrats' perspective. You know, that is not a good thing
well,
at all.
What I mean by that is I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I became a different person.
Right.
And I'm not angry in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Well, but if you look at the speeches last night.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say those two speeches last night were a perfect contrast because I mean, the Democratic speech was, you listen to what he said, everything is bad, we're concerned, all the things that should be going right are going wrong. And then if you look at Trump, his speech was very optimistic because he's pleased with the way things are going. So the dichotomy is inescapable. The Democrats see an impending apocalypse, and the Republicans, or I should say Trump, says, hey, it's morning in America again.
Hey, Steve, I got to move on, but thank you.
Well, I wanted to make one other comment.
Yep, if you can make it quick, go ahead.
Okay. About marijuana, I used to be a big marijuana smoker years ago. A lot of marijuana, a lot of drugs. I don't do any anymore. I don't think it should be legalized. And marijuana really takes away your initiative to become anything you really want to be. Makes you lazy. It's a dangerous drug. And no, I don't think it should be legalized.
All right. Hey, thank you, Steve.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, you're welcome.
Very good. And Cliff's back with us here. Cliff, go ahead. We got the news coming up, but go ahead.
All right. I'll try to be quick here. Two quick points.
Yep.
First was Joe Kennedy's comments about being anxious, angry, and afraid. I started to say that sounds like a child who got their hand caught in the cookie jar when mom came around the corner. They're anxious, angry, and afraid because they're finally being caught doing wrong. And, you know, I feel badly for innocence in a bad situation, but these folks that came in illegally are here illegally and need to be dealt with accordingly. So that was my second quick point. This came up while I was on hold.
Okay.
First was concern over our society's tendency to have governing bodies deciding issues in which they have an obvious financial vested interest. This whole legalization of marijuana thing is a prime example. I think they are more concerned, I'm pretty sure they're more concerned with tax revenue than right or wrong or net benefit or loss to society as a whole. They're just seeing the short term, here's a few more million dollars we can rake in. And those who are making the decision are those who have the vested interest, and there's just something inherently wrong about that situation.
I call that low-hanging fruit.
There you
How about that?
With City Council the other
you
day.
Could say the same thing about all the video gambling parlors that are on every street
corner. Yes, the gambling. The City Council, I'm glad they went the way they did this time around, but they're looking at it with one hand on their checkbook and then making the decision based on not so much the good of society or the good of the city, but more so just on can we rake in some more dollars here in a hurry, and that really concerns me.
All right. Hey, Cliff, thanks for calling back. Sorry about we lost
you
earlier.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Got to get to the news headlines here at 10:33. Here's Michael Kaiser next.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Penny for Your Thoughts rolling on here this last day of January. We're talking about African American, the population, unemployment, and all of that, and the Congressional Black Caucus last night during the speech. We're going to have Willie Comer on tomorrow morning at 10. He's with Youth for Christ City Life, also a pastor of a black church here in our community, and we're going to talk about African-American issues, what they face in our community, all that's going on with some of the violence, you know, the north end of town and so forth. And he's in there every day working with young people and working with community leaders and trying to make situations better. So he's kind of on the front lines of a lot of that. So Willie's going to join us, the Reverend Willie Comer, tomorrow morning at 10. We'll have an open line in the first hour. Jim Dye is with us this morning. I want to talk to him about Chris Kennedy here in a moment. Joe Kennedy did the response last night. There was a lot of response to him on Twitter. Twitter is always interesting because of the things they focus on, but I guess the 37-year-old's response to the President of State of the Union in his televised speech last night, Kennedy's lips appeared wet and glistening, leading to tweets about Kennedy's, quote, drool. He joked on Good Morning America this morning that he decided to go a little bit light on the chapstick this morning. He told chapstick last night was a little too much last night. So on television, things get magnified.
It's good to see chapstick getting some well-deserved publicity. I'm a regular user.
Yes.
But it also is distressing the trivial things that
they
we
worry
talk
about. Melania Trump, I guess, showed up at the State of the Union address in an ivory Christian Dior pantsuit. Some suggested her attire was a tribute to Hillary Clinton, of course, her husband's 16 Democratic opponent who favors pantsuits. Or was she honoring the suffragettes who made white their signature color? Others tweeted that Mrs. Trump looked divine. Her suit was in contrast to the black worn by Democratic congresswoman and their allies. And so all of that going on.
Can I just go on record as saying I think Melania always looks divine, and I want to continue to press my political position that she may be made the permanent first lady of the country.
That's
I
your
think
position
maybe those people that are all commenting on her maybe are doing a little too much mind reading.
Or they have a lot of time on their
hands. They have a lot of time on
their hands. I don't know what that is. Now, you, yesterday, editorial board met with Chris Kennedy.
We did.
So, first of all, how does that work? Are we several people in a room?
Yeah, we had we had a photographer and four of us on the editorial board sat down with Chris Kennedy, and he kind of, I guess it was, you could call it an endorsement interview. We don't interview all the candidates, but he was in the neighborhood and asked if he could come in and talk to us, and we said, fine. And so he kind of came in and gave us his pitch yesterday. I think Chris Kennedy is a very interesting candidate. I'm not sure, based on what I'm reading, that he's really able to translate what should be the Kennedy name and political position or power or attractiveness to this race. It sounds like he's certainly in the doghouse with Speaker Madigan and the party leaders. They've endorsed basically, although Madigan hasn't specifically, but he certainly has behind the scenes. I've been working to see J.B. Pritzker, be nominated, because Pritzker's got all the money and he's going to pay for everything. So that's why Madigan's backing him. But so Chris Kennedy finds himself kind of running against the Democratic Party leadership and is trying to distinguish himself from his other candidates by his rivals by campaigning against some of the things that Mike Madigan stands for. And one of them, according to Chris Kennedy, is the self-dealing related to the property tax issue. So he's saying Illinois will never have property tax reform as long as people like Mike Madigan make $1 million a year being property tax appeal lawyers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that one of our callers alluded to earlier, is that you can't fix problems when you have public officials who have a financial stake or a financial interest in seeing how those problems are resolved.
And I guess he went on down to a debate last night, I think, in Carbondale,
right,
mm-hmm, among all the other Democratic candidates. But Pritzker and Kennedy, obviously, are two of the best-known names. Of course, Chris Kennedy was the chairman of the Board of Trustees,
correct,
at the U of I for a few years, too. So he's fairly well-known around here anyway. Jenny, good morning. How are you today?
I'm eager for the voice of reason.
Okay.
Is this Jenny Putman? Jenny, how are you?
I'm good, and I want to thank you.
Are you calling to dissent with the suggestion that I'm a voice of reason?
No, I want to praise you for the equanimity you displayed earlier this hour when you allowed us how Democrats as well as Republicans sometimes see what's best for the political advantage of their party.
Well, I think that's kind of human nature, isn't it?
In that spirit of equanimity, I want to follow up a call that Brian received, if not yesterday, the day before, from someone who'd been to a Farm Bureau meeting and was very impressed with what he'd learned about the county executive. The candidate was the Republican candidate, and I want you to know that there is a Democratic candidate running for county executive as well, and she too, she being Darlene Kleppel, also has town halls scheduled. and Darlene's first town hall to talk about the new position of county executive is Groundhog Day. That's this Friday, the 2nd of February at the Urbana Free Library. It'll be at 10:30 in the morning. She's got town halls scheduled throughout February and March all around the county. And I just want the listeners to know that the Republican candidate has a brilliant opponent, Miss Darlene Klupel. And I'll close by saying I love how that caller described the position of county executive as, think of it as mayor for the county, or maybe not governor of the state, but governor for the county. That's a good way to think about it.
You know, I think that's an interesting race, and I'm actually glad you brought it up. Darlene Klepel is the mother of the Champaign School Board President, Chris Klepel.
Right.
So
she, mm-hmm.
And she's, I believe, a retired employee from the Regional Planning Commission, and she has her own background in local government. I'm interested in that race because, obviously, it's something very new for Champaign County. It's be a major step in another direction, and I'm particularly interested. I'm going to beat the drum once again on the township consolidation issue. I'm very interested to see how the two candidates will approach that issue, because I think township consolidation is one of the big things that a county executive can do.
Why don't you come to the town hall meeting on Groundhog Day at the Urbana Free Library and ask Darlene Klupel about it?
Well, maybe I will.
Okay.
Because I know I intend to ask both of them that question at some point.
Okay. I did not vote for the position of county executive. I think having the county administrator, smart people like Deb Busey, and a county board chair was enough. But my vote was overcounted, or was overwhelmed by the votes of people.
The News Gazette did not endorse that position either,
correct,
on the grounds that, do we really need more government? And the people of Champaign County decided, they passed two of those. There were three proposals on the ballot, and they passed two of them. And then eventually it got ironed out to be we're going to have a county executive. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, that ship has already sailed, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you did opine as to the fact that Chris ought to endorse his mom, Darlene, and that was appropriate.
That's what she sent out a press release one day announcing that she had been endorsed by her son, and we kind of had a little fun with that in the editorial.
Thank you.
But it's notable, Jenny, Gordy Holton's mother has not endorsed him yet, so
okay,
so maybe there's a little family discord there.
All right.
Okay, we'll see what comes of that.
Thank you, Jenny.
Nice chatting with
you.
Yep,
good to visit with you. We'll take a quick break, 356-9397, just like Jenny did. You can join us on the phone lines, Texas, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. That's always open, 3515-357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. We're back with more Penny for Your Thoughts, 1047, here on this Wednesday. Join us for bonus Big Ten basketball coverage tonight at 7:30 on DWS. It's Maryland at Purdue at Mackey Arena. It comes up tonight at 7:30. Bonus Big Ten basketball. Bonus Big Ten basketball. Is that our friend Larry Clisby? Tonight the Cliz? All right, on the call tonight. Maryland
at
Purdue.
Good game.
Should be a good ball game.
Now, are they playing at Maryland or at Purdue?
At Purdue. At
Purdue is tough, so I would expect them to win. But Maryland has got, I think they've got some real talent on that team.
They do. They're just missing some of them.
Yeah.
I got a nice note from Nancy about all the things with the speech. Thank you, Nancy, with the State of the Union speech. Path to citizenship, he said. Secure the border. She was helping me out because of the game last night. End the visa lottery. Need merit-based immigration plan. End chain migration. Wants to fully fund the military. Produce legislation, he says, to put America first, get the job done, fight drug epidemics, make sure American dollars go to friends of America, no longer tell our enemies our plans, and included some very special guests. Jim Madai mentioned those at the beginning of the hour and used them in the speech. Hope this helps with the show today. So thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. Real quick, you wanted to hit Patches? Patches the dog?
Yeah, although I was elated by the Illini win, my heart is heavy this morning because I'm reading the story about the dog named Patches in Ludlow who faces execution because he's considered to be a feral dog. And I'm hoping that some rescue group can step forward and do something about that, because this looks like a really fine, healthy dog that probably could use a home. He might be a little wild, but I would think that there's a better way to handle it than to euthanize him. And so I'm hoping that the Champaign County Animal Control will be approached by some group that wants to save a good-looking dog.
Well, there you go.
Now, I say that, of course, as a I'm not neutral on the issue of dogs, so I'm for them, and and I love all dogs, and I think I love Patches even though I've never met him, but I want him to have a happy home and a good life, and he's right now in a world of trouble.
10:51, duly noted. January's Radon Action Month takeout, of course, here at the end of the month. With all of this, this is the last day we'll mention this. Woods Basement Systems radon experts can help determine if a building's radon levels are above the EPA's recommended levels. And if so, they can install an aesthetically pleasing and affordable radon mitigation system. And check this out. You can be the caller there, 888-935-4333, or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com, 888-935-4333, woodsbasementsystems.com. It's Radon Action Month. Back to the phones at 10:51. Anna Wall, how are you?
Good morning, and I just called to say that your guest, Mr. Dye, keeps my cerebrum, cerebellum, medulla oblongata, and pons perla activated.
Holy cow, what are you talking about?
You're talking about the brain, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, you just stumped my brain with that recitation there.
I did what?
You stumped my brain.
Well, how do you know what that means?
Well, I guess it means you're a brainiac.
Parts of the brain. Anyway, your wonderful article on free speech for profs. I think that should be read by not only parents that are capable of understanding it, but certainly faculty members and teachers.
Well, and she's referring to a column I wrote yesterday about a Marquette University professor who got fired for something he wrote on his weblog, and since Marquette is a private institution,
that's
employees
right.
don't have public, they don't have free speech rights like the faculty members of the University of Illinois do. So that issue
right.
is in the courts, and it's been being taken up by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But it's a very big case for professors at private institutions.
Well, it's wonderful that we have people like you. When I say you, I mean the News Gazette and WDWS for providing the reading audience with that kind of material. Because that's something you would expect to learn in college, and some of us have never been there.
All right.
So anyway,
thank you.
I'm calling.
Thanks
thank
for the
you,
call.
Anna Wall. Good to hear from you. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Joe, you're up next right after this quick break. 10:55, Brian Barnhart, Jim Dye is our guest. Open line ongoing here to the top of the hour. Real quick from the News Gazette, after repeatedly emphasizing the difficulty of the decision, Champaign City Council members voted 8-1 to allow city staff to craft a pre-development agreement with a partnership of the Affordable Housing Developers Consortium and the Housing Authority of Champaign County to be the master developer for the city's Bristol Place project. There were two contenders for the position. No council members said they were working they were opposed to working with the other. So that's some of the news on the Bristol Place development. Let's go to Joe. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Gentlemen, Mr. Dye, I always appreciate when you're on there. Enjoy
Thank
listening
you.
To you. A comment and a question. Concerning Joe Kennedy's speech last night, watching it, I really didn't think much about it with him foaming at the mouth. I just figured he was another rabid Democrat. last several months, about 5 months, we've seen three different individual assaults on pro-Chief Illiniwek people. The mob attack at the homecoming parade, or the game, the one where the woman went in and destroyed a bunch of property at one of their meetings, and then the professor with the camera. I'm wondering, what is it going to take for the university to stand up and protect the people that are there against these type of individuals? I don't expect there'll be anything at all done to this professor with his camera. They'll let it go until it slips under the door and it is back in the shadows again. They won't do anything about it. So what's it going to take for us to get some justice?
All right, Joe, I'll let you go and let you listen to him, okay?
Well, I'll address myself to the first two episodes he mentioned, the vandalism and the homecoming thing, because I think the facts of the other thing are a little, the Jay Rosenstein are a little murky. But I would say it would take a lot more than what the anti-chiefs have done so far to get the university to take any action against them. They're intent on just indulging them, and letting them do what they want for fear of creating an even bigger controversy than what they had to begin with. So I think don't hold your breath, Joe, waiting for the university to do anything, because they're not. Now, with respect to Jay Rosenstein, I don't know how that's going to work out. I think he got a little carried away there. I don't think he had any truly malicious intent that has been attributed to him, but clearly he did step across a line, and he's paying kind of a price for it right now, just in terms of unflattering publicity and, of course, being suspended. Although being suspended with pay doesn't really sound all that bad to me. I've asked repeatedly if Jim Rosser would suspend me with pay, and he keeps refusing.
All right. Well, Jim Dye, it's been great. What are you working on today? Across from my desk over there.
I'll just have to. I'm going to try to slip the same column that I wrote today past the editors for tomorrow, so I don't have to do anything.
Well, if you're one of the editors, can you do that?
Well, I'm not really an editor. That's a kind of a misnomer. I'm a writer. But
you're a writer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my plan.
Didn't mean to mix those two up.
I shouldn't have told you my plan. Trump said he's not going to tell the enemy its plans anymore. I shouldn't have told you my plan.
By the way, just in from CBS and News, a train carrying Republican members of Congress to their retreat in Greenbrier, West Virginia, has hit a truck, according to Nancy Cordes. They probably have something on that at the top of the hour. All right, our thanks to Tom Kasich. He was on his way to Springfield. State of the State address is up with Governor Rauner coming up at noon today. We'll have that here on the radio on DWS, so be listening for that. Thanks to Jim Dye for sitting in, and we do this every couple of weeks, so we thank him for his valuable time. And we've got the news coming up next. I'll be with you tomorrow. Willie Comer in the second hour after an open line in the first hour tomorrow on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.